Welcome to the Raging Rhino Podcast. This is podcast number 61. My name is John. All in all, you're just another brick in the wall. We sat one drizzly, overcast, late Sunday morning, having an early lunch at a restaurant, early enough to where there was only one other table even in use. It was going to be a day of errands, and then a few chores at home, with a little downtime before having to get ready to start the work week again. Gina was talking about a guy she met recently, and was waffling over whether or not she wanted to see him again. I asked what was causing her to possibly drop him. But it was nothing he had done, per se. I mean, he was doing things, small, insignificant things, that other guys had done. Now, they aren't red flags that warn that the guy is a jerk, just shared likes, dislikes, and mannerisms. And based on that, she was considering dumping him. So I'd said something to her that made her just stop and say, "What?" I said, well, to understand what I said, I need to tell you this story. It was 1982. I was a tweener, sitting at home in our family living room with my sister, watching a movie preview special on HBO. I was on the floor, munching on Cookie Crisp right out of the box. You remember Cookie Crisp, don't you? It might still be around, I don't know. It was a breakfast cereal designed to look and taste like miniature cookies, because it was the 80s and we were just that crazy. The preview came across for Pink Floyd, The Wall. My sister was a big Floyd fan, so she wanted to see more about the movie. And they showed a clip featuring their song, Another Brick in the Wall, where this podcast's opening quote comes from. I just remember people in British school uniforms with deformed clay faces plodding along in a line. At the front of the line, the people are falling. I watched as, still happily eating my cereal, the camera pans down to a large metal vat where the people are falling, until it gets to the bottom, and I realize it's not a vat, it's a meat grinder, with the meat oozing out of the holes at the bottom. I immediately dropped the piece of cereal in my hand back in the box, closed up the bag, and never again ate another piece of Cookie Crisp cereal. I was just that grossed out. Now, obviously I don't care for that kind of cereal anymore, but watching that scene had enough effect on me that I just couldn't eat it again without thinking about how disgusted I felt at that moment. So I looked at Gina and I said, "You can't let Pink Floyd keep you from eating Cookie Crisp." Of course, she hadn't heard the backstory at that point, so she was quite perplexed by the line. But the idea is that you can't allow something bad to keep you from appreciating something good. You can't let something bad overshadow something that could be good. Sadly, this is something individuals do, and it keeps them from enjoying more of what life has to offer. Unfortunately, factions of our society also do this, and it sows discord and hatred and makes it more difficult for us to find peace in our nation. For me, it kept me from eating Cookie Crisp, and maybe that's not a bad thing, so don't stick too close to the analogy, all right? Hell, now that I think about it, I could go off on an entirely different analogy about how unexpected and significant events can alter the course of our habits and our lives and set us on an entirely different course that changes us forever. I've certainly had that happen a few times. But no, I'm going to stick with my original premise. And I'm going to start with something that I just read up on. I hadn't planned on talking about this for the podcast, but it's on my mind. George Takei has called for a boycott of business in the state of Indiana. He asks that businesses need to leave the state and pull as much business out of the state because the governor recently signed into law a bill that protects businesses from declining customers if serving the customers goes against that business owner's religious beliefs. This is a direct response to recent incidents in other parts of the country where business owners were sued because they would not bake a cake for a gay couple's wedding. This is why Takei is so adamant in his stance, because he sees it as a direct slight towards the homosexual community. Regular listeners to this podcast know beyond a shadow of a doubt my views on gay marriage. I think that any government restriction of marriage between consenting adults of any gender or any number is wrong. Any consenting adults who want to get married should be allowed to do so. Period. That's why I roll my eyes when people want the government to legalize gay marriage. No, that's not what you want. You don't want the government to think that it has the power to grant you the right to marry. So, while I certainly sympathize with Mr. Takei about wanting to show Indiana's government the purchasing power of the LGBT community and their allies, I cannot in any way support his boycott. As strongly as I believe that government has no right to prevent consenting adults from pursuing their happiness in marriage, I equally believe that you cannot use the government to force a citizen or a private business to do something they don't want to do. As foolish as it is, and as uncapitalistic as it is, to refuse to perform goods and services for another human being based solely on your religious beliefs, you have the right to do so. And yes, I know that opens the doors to all kinds of prejudice a business owner can do to people. And yes, I realize how unsavory that is. But if we are to be truly free, we have to tolerate those unsavory characters until time and enlightenment relegates them to the bad examples and warnings of history they need to be. So, all the businesses in Indiana who had nothing to do with this legislation will suffer from this planned boycott. All the businesses who had no intention of turning away business because of their religious beliefs will suffer because of this boycott. Plus, you set a dangerous precedent that you support government forcing private citizens and private businesses to do things against their will simply because you don't like their views. So not only do you tacitly grant government the power to force others to conform to your beliefs, which could one day be used against you, you also make the legislators out to be heroes in the eyes of their supporters and make this fiasco a rallying cry for those who are using other state governments to try to tell homosexuals that they cannot marry. And you're willing to hurt and sacrifice the livelihood of people who would otherwise support you just because they happen to be in the same area as people who don't like gays. Very enlightened. Bravo. You could concede that private citizens have the right to conduct their business how they see fit, even if it means they shut you out. You could, rather than bring your wrath down in the hopes of inflicting financial pain on an entire state, reach out to businesses across Indiana and explain to them that while you respect their choice on whether or not to supply goods and services to people based on religious beliefs, you wish to encourage people to patronize businesses who hold no such qualms. Therefore, you could request that any business that welcomes all sexual orientations and gender identities gladly advertise it, even with something as simple as a sign in the window. Then you could use social media to get the word out that this business will not turn away customers simply because of their sexuality. That way, you're not missing out on all the good that is out there just because of the bad actions of others. To be perfectly honest, I find it disheartening that the Indiana legislature even felt the need to do this. If I went into a store and the owner refused service to me because I am bisexual, I would not be happy. However, as angry as that would make me, I would simply walk out the door and spread the word about what happened. I would never try to take any kind of legal action against the business owner. Why? Because as much as I hate to admit it, it is their right to refuse service to anyone. If a business owner can't do that, then that is just one more reason we are doomed as a society. Just as all speech must be protected, even if that speech is hate-filled, so too must a business owner be allowed to run his company as he sees fit, even if he foolishly turns away business for idiotic reasons. And yes, I said idiotic. If their savior can spend time ministering to prostitutes and tax collectors, surely the followers should be able to provide a cake to a homosexual. But that is their myopia, and we have to accept it. Because responding in anger and equal amounts of hatred certainly isn't making things better. So much good could be done. So much goodwill could be fostered. So much opportunity gets wasted because people want to concentrate on the bad in a situation instead of looking for the good. Like I said, This is not what I intended to talk about in this podcast, but it seemed to fit with what I was saying, and the whole situation was really grating on me, so I decided to run with it. But the problem is, we all spend too much time letting the bad things influence our decisions and end up missing out on the good things. I know I do, and I need to be more aware when I'm in those situations. It's happened many times to me. I'm talking with someone about the concepts of liberty and freedom and self-responsibility. Maybe they're receptive to what I'm saying, maybe they're not. Maybe they're so caught up in the collectivist mantra they can't escape the rut and see a different path. Regardless, I'll mention a certain group of people and instantly that collectivist brainwashing kicks in and they think they know how to respond. So who do I bring up that solicits the expected response? The Founding Fathers of the United States of America. I'll talk about the Constitution of the United States, or the Declaration of Independence, and mention the people who wrote and signed the documents, and then it happens. Ah, those were all just a bunch of white males. Ah, those were all just a bunch of slave owners. So let's be full and factual here. Not all were slave owners. There were some that were at the time the documents were created and then later realized their hypocrisy and freed their slaves. One even bought slaves for the sole purpose of immediately granting their freedom. I do have long-standing plans to discuss slavery at length in a podcast, but it's one of those topics where I have much to say, but little desire to actually vocalize it. The other part cannot be denied. Yes, they were indeed all white males. Which makes me wonder, what does race or gender have to do with anything? I could surmise that those who dismissed the founders solely based on their skin color or gender are racists or misandrists. I could, but I won't, for now at any rate. To be honest, I'm sick of even thinking about their motivations for making such a comment. This ranks right up there with a business owner who won't do business with a homosexual couple. I find it distasteful, to say the least. And while I could do the mental exercises necessary to understand their mindset and realize why or how they feel the way they do, I'm just too apathetic to their myopia to want to try. Sure, I'll probably muster the mental fortitude to do it again. But as of right now, as I speak into this recording, I am just sick of all these narrow-minded jerks who think their moral superiority trumps reason. I don't want to challenge them or try to get them to look past their pathetically limited worldview. I would just as soon let them rot in their prejudice and foster those who aren't shackled by their ingrained bias. So, to put it bluntly, I don't give a flying fuck why you categorically dismiss white men, or cake-buying homosexuals for that matter. I just don't want to deal with your stupid shit right now. I'm trying to achieve a higher fucking plane here. I want that libertarian nirvana of peaceful coexistence and respect. And frankly, your misguided bigotry is seriously harshing my buzz. But when it's come up in the past, this is my response. So, You're saying that the idea that all men are created equal should be thrown out in the garbage because they're Caucasian? Or I'll say, so the concept that everyone deserves liberty is invalid because the person who wrote it denied liberty to some? These are human beings. Weak, fallible, imperfect people. Just because their actions were wrong doesn't mean their greater ideals should be dismissed. We have exalted these men way too much, that's for sure. They were just men. They were just as messed up and misguided as we can be. Just because we have a little bit better view of history than they do, doesn't mean we can ignore the gems in their dirt. Everyone has natural rights bestowed on them by nature or nature's God, depending upon your beliefs. That means that you have no right to interfere with their lives so long as they are not maliciously damaging or denying other people's rights or putting them in involuntary harm. This is a beautiful concept. So why dismiss it simply because a white male slave owner wrote it? I don't want to get too deep into the proverbial weeds here with the whole slavery discussion. I mean, it would take up way more than the 30 to 35 minute time limit I try to put on these podcasts. But there's just so much to what went on in the debates at those times between those who wanted to keep slavery and those who knew it needed to be abolished. It has been presented much more eloquently elsewhere, but suffice it to say, there was a lengthy debate, and if reason had prevailed, slavery would have been outlawed at the onset of this country. But it wasn't, because the anti-slavery people made a fatal error. They compromised. They kicked the proverbial can down the road for the sake of a unified country. They fucked up. They made a mistake. They paid for it. The ramifications of their mistake reverberated through history and made problems for others. To a lesser scale, so have we all. We've all fucked up. We've all made mistakes. We've all paid for it, and sometimes our screw-ups cause problems for others. Do you wish the good you have done to be dismissed because of an error? Only the delusional and the sociopathic would say they've never made a mistake that affected others. No, just because somebody does something good, that doesn't absolve them from the bad things they've done. Just because somebody does something bad, doesn't negate the good things they've done. That's why it's a mistake to exalt them, as I mentioned before. They're only human. I don't think that just because Thomas Jefferson wrote the Declaration of Independence, that gives him a pass for owning slaves. However, owning slaves doesn't mean we shouldn't strive for the ideals that Jefferson and others set before us in the Declaration or the Constitution. Liberty, like all good ideas, is not one easily achieved. Some may even argue that the Founding Fathers achieved the maximum amount of liberty for people as was allowed in the times they lived. That just means, as we humans continue to gain knowledge and learn from the mistakes of history, we should build on those good ideals, even if they were made by faulty people. Think of it another way. If you've listened to this podcast, you know I don't believe in monogamy. But the majority of Americans do. In fact, I would be comfortable in saying that the majority of Americans, including those in both the major political parties, believe in monogamy. Blindly due to societal idiocy, but they believe it nonetheless. What I mean is both Republicans and Democrats, and probably most of every other political ilk, believe in monogamy, right? Even those like me who don't believe in it would still say that somebody who has taken a vow to be monogamous with his or her spouse should not have an extramarital affair because that breaks their vow. So what happens if somebody does break his or her marital vow? Well, as we have seen in the political landscape, that can have ramifications. Politicians who have been caught in affairs have had to face the music to varying degrees. And invariably, a commentator will tell us that a person who is unfaithful in their marriage is unfaithful to their oath of office. So I ask you, does a person who cheats on their marriage deserve to be dismissed in all other aspects of their lives? Even if that person has, maybe said some really good things about peace and unity. If you're one of those people who let Pink Floyd keep you from eating Cookie Crisp, who let the bad things keep you from the good things, then you probably would ignore everything that was said by Martin Luther King Jr. He was believed to have had several affairs, breaking his marital vows. Does that then negate all the good that he did? What about a wife beater? Gina and I recently did a podcast together about a professional athlete who beat his then fiancée. My wife talked at length about the physical abuse she suffered in a previous marriage. There are those who say, once an abuser, always an abuser. There are those who believe that someone like that is irredeemable. Even a single incident brands you for life. So what happens if an otherwise peaceful person once abused his wife? Do you then say that all the other good that person might have done should be ignored because of that horrible mistake? Then you should ignore Mohandas Gandhi, because he once physically assaulted his wife. Or maybe you should understand that all these men did bad things, and while we should never accept the wrongdoing, we should separate that from the good ideas they had and build on what they did right. You can't let the bad things people did blind you to the good. I don't want to oversimplify it by saying nobody's perfect. We know that. We get that. I don't want anyone to think that slave ownership or breaking marital promises or spousal abuse have any redeeming qualities. Those are not acceptable. I don't think that any reasonable person who is listening to this podcast as a whole and not cherry-picking what suits them will believe I condone any of those things. And I'm not even saying this is something that we can readily do with people who are alive. All the examples I've given are of people who have been dead for decades, if not centuries. And perhaps that's what makes it easy. We've seen the totality of their work, so we can lift out that which is good and throw out that which is bad. Or at least some of us can. This is a world where good things can be used for bad purposes. Gunpowder is a useful tool that has been used for murder. The internet is a useful tool that has been used for child pornography. We don't throw out a good tool because someone uses it for bad purposes. Nor should we throw out the good in the body of work of a man because some of his life was lived badly. Let's take this good and do something with it. Let's build a better tomorrow, even as we ourselves make mistakes today. This is the Raging Rhino Podcast. You'll hear from me again.